What happened that Jesus all of a sudden became so glorious? Was this an interruption of the miracle that kept him lowly all the time? And all of a sudden now, for a moment, who he really was shines forth? Or was it a momentary revelation of something that he didn't possess, but would possess? What happened? All the great fathers of the church and the theologians have pondered this a long time. St. Thomas seems to tend toward the first view. When you think that Jesus was joined to the divinity, that at the root of his being, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is God. How could it be that his humanity wouldn't shine all the time? How could it be? Being joined to God. We have that text when many of the fathers pointed out, link it to this, though he was in the form of God, he didn't consider being equal to God something to be clung to. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. However we are ever going to understand that, Jesus walked around most of the time in the form of a slave, subject to fatigue, hunger, fear, insult, mockery, even before his passion. And at this moment, for his sake as well, there was this manifestation of glory. The Father promising him, this is where you are going. So, how do we ponder this? Well, first, we have to want to ponder it. We have to say, I've got to try to understand this. You see, most of the time, especially from the late Middle Ages on, people have drawn good moral teaching from this text, which is wonderful, the dignity of the human body, so take care of your body. But what about just looking at the reality? Jesus, transformed, glorious, radiant, and the two great prophets of the Old Covenant come with him. Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets. And they're there with him. And they're talking, as some of the other texts tell us, they're talking about his passion, his exodus, as Luke calls it. And so we have this mystery of the transformation, a transfiguration, the Greek word is metamorphosis, of Jesus. Now how would we go about having that reality touch our lives? How would it be that at the end of the Mass, at the end of the day, we would be different than at the beginning? You know, when the church celebrates these feasts of Jesus, the fathers of the church call the vis mysterii, the power of the mystery, reaches out to touch us. But that requires, you know, gazing at Jesus and begging the Holy Spirit to open up our spirits so that we see him and understand his glory and his majesty and who he is. And that's what changes us. Much more deeply than moral exhortation is spiritual experience. And that's what the Lord wants to give us on a feast day like this, a touch, an understanding in our own spirit of this incredible event. Yes, it did strengthen the disciples. And that's why it's put in the synoptic tradition close to that first prediction of the passion, strengthen them to go through. We can only imagine what would have happened if they hadn't received this, because even with it, most of them fled. It didn't do the trick. So there must be more than just strengthening. See, it must be now a revelation. How is it that some of the great saints have no doubt at all in their faith of the reality and the divine majesty of Jesus Christ? Because they've touched him. Because they've touched him. They know him. You know, Pope Benedict said a couple of years ago now, Christ has need of witnesses who, in the power of the Holy Spirit, have come to know him personally, who have, as it were, touched him with their hand, as John says in the prologue, of the first letter. What we've seen, what we've heard, what we've touched, this is what we proclaim to you, the word of life. How does this glory of God in flesh touch us? Well, first, we have to pay attention to it, as the letter of Peter says, right? We possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. What prophetic message is that? It's the whole prophetic message. Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Mark, Matthew, the great saints, it's one prophetic message. You will do well to be attentive to it. As to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Now that's understanding the transfiguration. Well, gosh, we're all busy. In another half hour, I'll be running off to work. How are we going to do this? You have to treasure this in your heart. You're not all supposed to run away and hide in a monastery. That may not do much good either, unless you bring your vices with you. It's pondering this as you go off to work and just say, Lord, you are the only one who can break open this mystery for me. You're the only one. So that it touches me. And that the reality that's mediated and contained in this gospel text is impressed on my spirit. And then I understand. Now, when we have this same reality, this same feast, as it were, we have it again at Lent, as you remember. The first Sunday of Lent is always about the end of the history, and the second one is always about the transfiguration. To prepare us to understand who is it who dies on the cross, so disfigured people didn't even want to look at him, mocked and laughed at. Who is it? It's the creator of the world. Now, those things we can ponder verbally, and that's very helpful. But it only when the Spirit of God brings this reality into our spirit. And today is the feast of the Transfiguration. So the grace of today is to be touched by the reality of the Transfiguration, which now means the totally glorious transfigured Christ, his whole humanity divinized, is a divine humanity. Well, how does that work out? Well, I have to ask the Lord himself. But it has to be. We are going to feed on his body and blood in a few minutes, and so are millions of people all over the world. Some in the corner of a concentration camp, some in a cathedral, some. How is that possible? Because it's become a divine, divinized humanity. And that is the secret fire that burns in the very heart, the very center of the reality of Jesus, and shines light through his whole body. So we should pray for each other. You see, those are the things, but it takes time. It takes work. It takes discipline. Yes, we have to take the time to pray, of course. But it also takes the discipline of obedience all day long. Listening to the Lord, who wants nothing more today than to touch us with his grace. So we will be moved by the Holy Spirit today to do this or not do that. And do we obey or not? Only, you see, only Jesus understands how much he wants to give us the grace of the Transfiguration. Only Jesus sees that. We're rather dumb and dense if we don't see it. But if we obey him today, die to self and live to him, somehow today we will be touched more deeply with this reality.